I Need Scissors 61, a remix of Metal Gear Solid 2 by Prince of Darkness. Folks, you don't know what that song means yet, but we're going to tell you very shortly. It's the very first episode, I'm sorry, round of insert credits.
Yes.
Are you not entertained?
With parentheses.
With parentheses.
Yes.
Wait, what?
Insert credit parentheses.
Oh, right. Yes, right. One or two players. Two players, of course. I am Mr. Bond.
And I'm Tormod.
This wonderful 14th of February 2014 is Valentine's Day.
Yay.
So happy Valentine's Day, everybody. We really didn't line it up intentionally.
Nope.
On tonight, but, you know, it just happened to be a Friday.
And a full moon.
Friday. Is it a full moon today?
I think so.
Awesome. Love full moons. Well, this is our new series. It's going to be a more casual show, well, casual asterisk, I guess. It's going to follow a lot of the same formats we've done in the past with our previous shows, just because it works fairly well. But this one won't be edited after the fact, unless we make a really big screw-up, which we'll try to avoid, of course. Maybe. But other than that, this is just us raw. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to play some tunes. We're just going to talk about some shit, so... You know, buckle up, insert your credits in, let's go.
Whoa.
Oh boy, that was awful.
Yeah, it was.
But
it's raw.
It is raw. It is raw, but that's okay. But before we get into the meat of it, let's dial it down a little bit and go down to Serious Town. This being the first episode, and due to recent events, I'd like to dedicate this episode, this round, this very first round of insert credits, to my dad. He's dealing with some very serious medical issues right now, and it's taken a lot out of him. And it's affected my family, me, everybody pretty much around him in a very, very serious way. And we're all pulling for him and praying for him and doing whatever we can do to help him out. So here's to you, Dad. I love you. All right, let's get it going. The format is going to be pretty simple. We'll start off with talking about stuff around the world, break for a couple songs, talk about our personal gaming, break for another couple songs, and then do some ad hoc design, and that'll be it. Pretty simple, right?
And it's a shorter show.
And it is a shorter show. We're going to target about 1 hour. We fully expect to run over a little bit, but if we're under a little bit, doesn't matter either. The idea is just to have some fun, do this fairly regularly. We're going to try the whole once a week thing, unless stuff comes up on Friday nights, as it is wont to do. But... there you have it. That's insert credits. So let's get started right away. Around the world, would you like to start or shall I?
Sure, I can do that. Right. So for the longest time, Nintendo has been advertising the Pokemon Bank as a means for players to upload their mons that they raise inside of, well, the last couple generations, it sounds like. I think it's going to be black and white, black 2, white 2, and Pokemon X and Y. Could be wrong about that. Like I said, casual news gathering. But for me, it was definitely Pokemon X and Y. I had gone through the game and put way too many hours into that game. But I have a good team plus some backups. And I wanted to start the game over again, but it's kind of a hassle to trade my things to another person, start a game, trade it back, not be able to use them because I don't have badges and whatnot. But in any case, Nintendo has this thing, and it's finally been released on February 5th this week in North America. It released elsewhere throughout the world earlier. It started trickling out about a month ago in Japan and then moved this way. The cost in America is $4.99 in America per year with a 30-day trial. So I definitely got in on that. Unfortunately, I was kind of apathetic toward it for a while because it took me a few days to be like, okay, fine, I'll download it. Unfortunately, well, maybe it was fortunate for me. It was very difficult to get into the eShop no matter what because everybody seems to have been waiting for that. And finally, it was released, and it took me 5 reboots of my 3DS to get into the eShop because after a while it would just time out and say, you need to hit home and then restart your system before you can go back into the eShop. Okay. So I did. 5 times.
Yikes.
And it took me about 3 times to actually get the download started. Once it started, it was just fine. I'm assuming that I was just hitting bad cues. So finally got that downloaded. Real small app. It does exactly what it says it is, or it will. It scans your game card for data, and you see your boxes. You don't get to see your active team, so you have to put them in boxes before you can transfer them, so I have to do that yet. But you get something like 500 Pokemon that you can upload, I think. Yeah. But it's really, really easy. It's basically, here you go, tap, and then put them there. Take this and put it over there. And that's really it. I mean, they have a little cutesy intro with Lady Professor Lady. I don't know who she is. And yeah, that's it. They're up in the cloud and they're out of the game and that's it. And it's tied to your eShop account or your Nintendo Network ID, I should say.
And do you get like credits or something for having them out there?
You know, I really don't know. I think that the more you upload, the more in-game things you can get. There's battle points where you can go into the battle maison. I have no idea how to pronounce that French word. M-A-I-S-O-N.
Oh, okay.
Maison? I don't know. Or you can get Pokemiles, which are basically for distance that you travel in the game. They actually calculate that. A little aside here, Pokemon X and Y has kind of a cool thing. Because it's on 3DS and has the console itself is much more internet-driven, they actually do have Game Sync, where you can synchronize your game with the internet, and that way you can transfer some of your statistics and whatnot and actually get achievements if you want. Things like that. It's basically like, oh, you did this, and it's cool, and blah, blah, blah. So.
And does it like act as a pedometer, too?
Not really.
Like the really old... Oh, what was it? What was they called? The Tamagotchi style.
Yeah, I know what
Pokemon
you're talking about.
That they used to have.
Yeah, so they had that. Hey, you. No, it wasn't Hey, You Pikachu. No. It was the little Pikachu thing that you can carry on. That was the first thing that was unrelated to the games. But they had in Heart Gold and Soul Silver, they had a Pokewalker that you could actually transfer a Pokemon to your Pokewalker, and they would gain XP based on how many steps you took. It was something separate.
Hmm.
Pokemiles has nothing to do with that. Well, you know. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with the actual step count that the 3DS records. It's actually distance in the game. So the more miles you go, you can get more stuff and whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. That was, again, finally released on the 5th. I didn't get onto that probably until like 3 or 4 days ago, and it was still that difficult. So, yeah. I have one other brief thing. I backed a Kickstarter called Unsung Story, Tale of the Guardians. It is funded. As a matter of fact, it literally just ended as our show started. They were looking for $600,000 and they got $660,000 and I guess another $126,000 tacked onto that. So they got 110% of what they wanted. It is a strategy RPG that has a lot of really interesting people on the team. Go read the website. The Kickstarter has all the information right now. You can't really back it anymore, but you can certainly get all the information that you could possibly want that they have right now. For all of the pledge tiers, they're saying that estimated delivery is going to be July of 2015. For a game of this scale, with all of the mock-ups that they have, that's probably extremely optimistic.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if this got delayed into 2015.
Well, they're saying July of 2015.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard you say 2014.
Oh, no, no. I mean, okay. I have no idea how large the actual team developing this is. If it's just these people, then it's going to take some time because there's a lot of really intricate assets there. They're talking about getting Hitoshi Sakimoto for the music and all that other stuff. Now, I'm not sure if he's, well, you know, the music advisor or the composer, whatever. But, I mean, it's a really, really big game, and it's really cool. This is the kind of thing that I'm really interested in, so I was all too happy to back this. Now, there have been some of my friends who have been dissenting toward it, saying, oh, they're just throwing these names out there as, like, ancillary people who are working on the project. Okay, I wasn't really, you know, backing it for the sake of having really awesome people working on a game. I mean, that is part of it, because they're tried and true, and they're giving a lot of support to these people, Playdeck. But the concept art is brilliant. The mechanics look really solid, and it reflects a lot of the stuff that, well, we want to do with our own stuff. So this is a lot more planned out, and it's really cool. I'm excited for it. So I'm really glad that it happened. Yeah. That's what I've got for the week.
All right. Well, unless you've been living under a rock for a long time, you might have heard of a little thing called Flappy Bird.
No.
No?
No.
Well, I'm going to tell you about it.
No.
It's this really cheesy and not great game, admittedly. Let's face facts here. It's like those old helicopter-style games where you pretty much just guide an object through a series of obstacles. If you touch the walls, you're dead. If you touch the ceiling or floor, you're dead. In a bird form. And this started out on iOS and Android. It has since spread to many other things, not because of the original developer, because there's a whole big story around this one. It was actually in the app stores for, I forget what they had said, a year or so, and it didn't really have a lot of attention, and nobody was really, you know, paying attention to it or anything like that. But suddenly it exploded in popularity in like the past 2 weeks. And the guy who made this made it in like a couple days. It's ad-supported. It was ad-supported. It was free. And he was pulling down $50,000 a day in ad revenue for this crap.
Oh, boy.
That's fucking ridiculous. Now, because it was so popular, he actually pulled it from these app stores, and he pretty much just walked away from all of that, citing reasons of, this is way too much fame for me. I can't keep up with this. This is not what I wanted at all. And quite frankly, I don't blame him. That is a lot of shit to be put through immediately. And of course, with sudden fame comes sudden attention from all of the internet's assholes. And, well, he's received death threats for announcing pulling the app and then for pulling the app, as well as suicide threats for people who play the game so much or whatever, just so addicted to it, for pulling the app. What kind of I just don't understand that kind of mentality. I mean, I get addiction exists and all that, psychological things, blah, 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 brain chemistry. But still, holy shit.
It gives you the brain damage.
It does give you the brain damage, apparently.
I'm just going to throw this in there. So if you actually purchase an app, or I guess if it's free, and you have it installed on your iOS or Android devices, even if they take it off, they can't remove it from your device. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, that's true. So. And because of that, there's actually been a glut of eBay entries and probably Craigslist entries and all that for devices, phones, tablets with this app installed going for anywhere from $300 to I think one was $10,000.
Oh, fuck.
Now, I know, exactly. A lot of these probably are not legit bids. People are just trying to cash in on this whole crap, which is so weird. It's just such a crazy thing.
I mean, I haven't looked, but the IPKs and the APKs have got to be out.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they are. APKs for sure. I mean, with iPhone or...
just jailbreak and copy it off.
Exactly. But, oh, man. The mere existence of those auctions for this shitty game is just ridiculous. There is something that good that has come out of it, though. There was a Flappy Jam which a whole bunch of indie game developers pretty much... cloned in the biggest air quotes ever, the game, gave their own spin to it in support of this dev, of this guy who just couldn't take all this stuff. And some of them are actually not bad. I downloaded one that Terry Kavanaugh made. He's the guy behind VVVVVV and Chat Chat and a whole bunch of other really fun little games. It's pretty cool. It's got a Super Hexagon vibe to it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's
what?
Pretty neat. It's kind of weird, but yeah, it's kind of cool. There's also one called Flocculus, which is one for the Oculus Rift, which I downloaded. I haven't yet tried it. I wanted to try it before tonight so I could kind of report on it.
How would you control it?
I don't know.
Just
look up and down, I suppose? I don't know. I don't know, but I'll give that a shot, and maybe next week I'll report back to you guys on how it goes, because it's really crazy.
Okay.
So, man, this caused a major shitstorm on the internet, and of course there's the stupid people like, oh, you need a thick skin to do this, and blah, 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 and he should just, you know, man up and grow a pair and all that shit, but it's like, really, guys, just shut the fuck up. You're not really helping. Go away. That's what I have to say about that.
That's really special. I have nothing else to say.
That entire incident is just crazy. Crazy shit. But I think it's time for our first little breaky.
Yeah, I'm totally cool with that. All right. Song segment number one of this fair show on round one starts with Anachronism by Shinobubula from Secret of Evermore, going into The Anti-Garlic Campaign by Rexy and Rotaka from Twisted Tales of Spike McFang. Thank you.
Okay, on to some of our personal gaming of the past week, month, year, whenever the last time it was that we talked about it. I think we had tried a segment like this in the very first journey of Seeking Infinity.
Pretty sure.
Maybe. Yeah. Then we cut it out because, like, well, we got enough other stuff to talk about that we did could easily ditch, like, 20 minutes. But anyways, for me, in the past, you know, recent history, I've been playing a lot of Cast Crashers and Spelunky on PC. Those, of course, are also on the XBLA for 360. I'm not sure if they are ported to the XBone or not.
No.
I don't know. Probably not, actually, at least right now. And also a lot of Mass Effect, the whole main trilogy. I went through Mass Effect 1 in about a week, 2 weeks ago. I went right into Mass Effect 2 and powered through that in about another week. And now I'm on Mass Effect 3, maybe about a third of the way through the game right now. This is my third total run through the entire series, so I'm getting pretty good at it.
There you go.
Pretty good and efficient at it. Castle Crashers was actually not, well, kind of introduced to me by Space 006 over Winter Enmas. I had already known about the game, I just hadn't ever really played it.
Mm-hmm.
But he had grabbed it a while back. Well, not necessarily a while back, a few weeks back, but even before that. And he came over and hung out with us for the weekend, and he logged into his Xbox profile or whatever and said, "Hey, why don't we try this game?" I'm like, "Oh, sure, why not?" Been meaning to try it, so we did, and we had a lot of fun with it. We actually went through its entirety in over the course of a few hours. So it's not a very long game, but it was pretty good, regardless.
It has replay value.
It does. It does indeed.
Hooray.
What about you, Tormod? What you been doing?
Those three things minus Mass Effect.
So the first two things I said.
Yes. So, yeah. I mean, let's see here. If you want to count Winter Enmas, I guess. There's plenty of things that we both played at Winter Enmas. Well, you played, mostly. I played a whole lot of Final Fantasy III that day. Because, well, six, whatever.
But pick, hey, a number.
Yeah, we're in the World of Ruin now. Yay!
And about how far through the game is that?
A little past half, I guess.
Okay.
Because now we're going and finding all of our party members. So, yeah. That game still doesn't get old for me. Especially when it glitches. It's hilarious. I love the glitches.
But so how much of those did they fix in the 1.01 revision or whatever it was?
Supposedly it won't, like, cycle through the entire contents of RAM if you try to sketch something that's invisible anymore.
Aww.
And there's a slot bug. I don't remember what it is. I know there's a, like, a psycho-cyan thing where if you use a sword tech attack, I want to say, and before he can actually execute the attack, he is made into a berserk. Like, he has the berserk status effect.
Uh-huh.
He'll, like, go apeshit. It's bizarre. I don't exactly know the details for that, but I'd really like to see it at some point.
I see.
And, of course, there's something that you can do. You can suplex the Phantom Train. Well, but that's not really a bug. That's a hilarity. So, I also learned that you can apparently steal Genji gloves from an enemy called Dragon. Just Dragon on the floating continent. And we now have three Genji gloves in our party.
Well, dragons need gloves too, maybe.
Dual wielding weapons gloves, apparently. I mean, they got the claws or whatever. But yeah, we're just kind of like shitting ourselves. We're like, oh my god, we got another one. Because I have this combo with Locke at the beginning of the game where you can equip two relics to each character, which is fantastic. They add random effects. And the thieves' gloves, because he's a treasure hunter, yes, is the thieves' gloves. And I pair that with, what the hell is the other one I'm doing here? Yeah, the thieves' gloves and the Genji gloves. So yeah. It turns steal into capture, which is basically an attack plus a steal attempt in one turn. But because there's Genji gloves, you can attack twice. So it's fighting twice and stealing twice in one turn. And it augments his ability to steal if he has the thief's knife, which occasionally I'll just throw on there if I want to get good drops. And randomly it's like Genji glove. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I actually went through the entirety of the floating continent again to see if I could find any of these dragons, and I didn't even fight one. I was just like, God damn it. So, yeah.
Can you go back to it since you're this far now?
No, because the reason the continent is floating is because the three goddesses that control magic were thrown into an imbalance, and the world started to, like, writhe a little bit. And when Kefka ultimately really screwed them up, it totally fucked the earth, really.
So, a world of ruin.
Yeah.
Literal.
Literally. It's a Final Fantasy game that, as part of the story, basically said, y'all done fucked up. So, yeah, it's really interesting, and it's one of the two longer plays that we had done recently. The first was the day I was in my car accident, and then the second was the Friday Winterinmas. So, yeah, gotta find a good time to spend another few hours on that game, but it'll happen.
So when you had mentioned that bug with sketching an invisible thing or whatever,
yeah,
it reminds me of an NES game that's actually unplayable in an emulator because it relies on cycling through RAM.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did we talk about that once before?
So we did in the context of perfect emulators.
Okay, yeah.
Because we were doing that. I think we were discussing this with Paul when we were out for sushi.
Either Paul or Travis or both.
Yeah, it was one of those guys. How they were saying, oh, we need this 4 gigahertz computer to run an NES emulator.
Yeah, with perfect accuracy. So I forget what the game is, but what ends up happening is you get to a certain point where your player, whatever.
And you, like, step in a bucket or
something.
Yeah,
it's in a bucket, or you're on a jump pad or something, and it only... Man, how do I describe it? It only continues after the instruction pointer has cycled entirely through the game, and then your character jumps.
Well, it actually finds the right value eventually.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay.
I think it kind of just turns over itself a little bit. And in an emulator, it doesn't do that. It catches itself before it, like, overruns its entire RAM.
Yeah.
So you can never get past that point, which is kind of funny, actually.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's the same sort of thing with Battletoads on that one level for two players, come to think of it.
What you talking about?
Battletoads, you can only get so far with two people.
Oh.
Because the second player freezes
at
the start of the level.
Okay.
So you can never move on past that point. Not like it really matters, because I don't think anyone has ever gotten that far with two people.
Probably.
Which is why it was probably not tested and fixed.
Bodies.
that would be one of the reasons why, yes. Oh, boy. Very strange times. But if we're talking about Winterinmas stuff, yeah. This year was a good year for kind of crazy mini party games. Because I had found these two indie titles. One's called Nidhogg, which is a very lo-fi fencing game. It's, yeah. Well, it's not the one that you're thinking of, probably.
No, it's not.
But
it's
mention
hilarious.
The second one. Yeah. It's really kind of cool. There's only two buttons and directions, and out of that you get three different fencing stances. You can jump, you can dive kick, you can roll, and pretty much the object of the game is to get to one side of the field, or to get to your opponent's side of the field all the way. And it sounds really simple and maybe even kind of stupid, but it's really a lot of fun. And it's very intense, especially when people start swearing at each other and, you know, doing the things that people tend to do in multiplayer situations. So that was a big hit. The other big hit was something called Starwall. It's a free online game where you're a narwhal and in space, and you're trying to pierce the heart of the other narwhals in space. So that is a deceptively simple game that got many hours of play this winter. Very, very strange games. Other than that, Jamestown was a good mainstay again this year, just because, you know, it's crazy fun with four people, even though you can't really get very far. What are the other ones?
Spelunky?
Did we
played some. Well, I mean, we played
after,
stuff with
I
Space 006.
Proper,
we also
right.
did the Fruit Ninja.
Oh, yeah, Fruit Ninja.
That was fun.
Space 006 had brought that as well. That was an interesting game.
I liked it.
It was pretty cool.
It was just like,
you just connect and you'd wave your hands around. It's got many different incarnations across many different platforms. We also tried playing a couple, I wouldn't say Japanese bullet hells because they really aren't, but Hidagata Hapa and Gundemonium and Gundedlijn, however you pronounce that one. We kind of switched off on that between a few different folks. It was just fun because everybody got so frustrated because we couldn't get very far. Yeah. So that was about it for that. I was trying to think of anything else we had played that night. I don't know. We spent like 3 or 4 hours on Starwall.
Yeah.
Which was kind of funny. I mean, each round only lasts like a minute at best. So we powered through quite a bit of that. But it was a good time. It was a good turnout. We had some good food. We had some good people there. And just overall, a very good time.
And a lot of Spotted Cow. I was a big fan of that.
Have we figured out who brought that other six-pack?
No, but I saved the best for last, which are those two bottles of beer. So I wasn't really sure what to expect with the random sampler, so they weren't bad. Except that Hopalicious at the end, I was just like, drinking it. A little too bitter for me. But I realize this has nothing to do with games that I've played, but it's a game I read about that I want to play. It's Pippin Bar's Lo-Fi Dick Fight.
Oh, I did see that. I was like, what the hell is this?
I saw that. I was just like, yes.
Huh.
Lo-Fi Dick Fight.
Yeah, he's good at that. Those kinds of games.
Random shit.
Yeah.
I was reading about this on Twitter. I'm like, is this really a thing?
Yeah.
Are you really making this? Did you really?
Yeah.
You have a web page for it? God damn it. That just kind of devolved, if you could go that way.
He did.
Yeah, he did. It's pippinbar.com/games/lo-fi dick fight. No punctuation. Go click.
Click it.
It's small dick versus small dick is the default. That right there.
That should paint the perfect picture for
everyone. Yes, it's a wonderful fuchsia background with magenta text and WASD. There you go. Done.
Oy.
Yep. Okay. And it's two players, one keyboard. Even better. Wow. All right. Done.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to some more tunes in bonus level 2, I guess we'll call it.
Boner.
Oh, geez. I didn't even think about that. Yikes.
Let's
start it off first with a remix from Gradius 4 entitled Demetrius by the Samurai, followed by a remix from Mario Kart 7 entitled Planetarium by Carbohydro-M. We'll be right back. All right, on to some quickie ad hoc game design. Considering the recent Flappy Bird incident, I've got it into my head a little bit, thinking about some real simple games, some real simple inputs, like, you know, a single tap. So I decided to go a little bit of a tower defense-y route. Let's keep it really, really simple. Tap anywhere on the screen that's not your player to move them, and tap on your player to emit a very short-range attack. While enemies flood in from the sides, from all over, increases in speed as you go along, kind of hemming and hawing about adding on a shop mechanic where the more enemies destroy, the more cash you get so you can upgrade your stuff or whatever. But that seems to kind of fly in the face of the simplicity I'm going for, so yeah, let's leave that out. I wonder if I could get $50,000 a day for advertising on that.
I'll use Min Min Free to block your ad. Done.
I do that, though. I block ads, and I feel no shame about it.
Yeah, me neither. Sorry. I mean, not really.
No,
but
no, you're not. Neither am I. Neither am I.
The default response, whether we mean it or not. Okay.
That's it. That's my design.
All right, that's fine.
Real simple. Maybe I'll lift some pipes from Nintendo Art or something.
Yeah, why not? Some happy cloud bushes. Why not? All right, my ad hoc design is a quick reaction game where players will tap targets as quickly as possible as they appear on the screen. The targets will change, sometimes multiple on the screen at once.
Oh.
The targets have values assigned. Some are detrimental, others special, an increased score multiplier. Score determined by the amount of time taken to tap, multiplied by the value of the target, multiplied by the multiplier. Targets only remain on the screen for 1 second each. Rounds, 30 seconds. Why not? Done.
Where does the multiplayer come from?
The special targets. I see. Yeah. I was kind of inspired just a tiny bit by Fruit Ninja.
Oh.
So.
Well, hey. There you go. Recent events, recent games. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. No banana.
Oh. No, but yeah, I suppose. That'd be kind of a ripoff, huh?
A little bit. So. But, ta-da! Done.
We get 50,000 a day on advertising for both of those. 100,000 a day? Fuck.
And we can just charge 99 cents for the app.
Nah, then nobody would buy it.
Bitch, please. What's the lowest you can go in the App Store now? It used to be 99 cents, but I think Disney talked Apple down to 49 cents or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Because apparently they wanted to do a free promotion, and the lowest they could negotiate was 49 cents.
So there's no, like, free apps on the Apple App Store?
There are free apps, but you can't, like, have a promotion where it's free and then charge money. You have to keep it at a charge.
I see.
And the lowest amount that they could charge is 49 cents. And apparently it wasn't like that in the past, because it used to be 99 cents is the cheapest. So just... Yeah.
Ugh.
Whatever.
God, race to the bottom.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny, actually. I was thinking about this a little bit the other day, and how if there's a free app, I'll you know, just install it right away. If there's like a $5 app, but I'll really, you know, I really think I'll use it, I'll probably, you know, buy it and install it right away. If it's a 99-cent app, I'll be like, well, I don't know if I really need it, and I'll kind of debate for a few days and probably not even buy it. Yeah. So it's kind of weird how something really that cheap is just like, I don't really want to part with my buck to get the damned app.
I want to see what I've actually paid for. Oh, let's see here. Lightflow, that was worth it.
Yeah, that was
worth it. I've never actually had to use it, but it's there just in case.
Titanium backup, right?
Yeah, Titanium backup. Now, you know what Cygic is, right? It's basically offline GPS and maps.
Oh.
So in the event that, you know, T-Mobile decides to blow ass out in the middle of nowhere, I can still use a GPS.
Gee, I could have used that last weekend.
Where were you last weekend?
It was weird. I was driving home, and there's this weird dead spot between Fond du Lac and Sheboygan.
Okay.
Where I just lost data connection, and I had to quick switch my destination while during that dead spot, and it kept telling me no network, no network, no data, no data. I'm like, shit.
Yeah. I had that. Well, actually, I roamed over to AT&T because I was driving between Manitowoc and Appleton. That was the only place that I really had a problem. So, whatever. Yeah.
Thankfully, it came back when I was nearing Plymouth, so I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, I would imagine. I'm trying to think here, what the hell else did I use? I totally didn't pay for AccuWeather Pro. free. CloudPrint, I uninstalled that. What the hell do I use these days? I keep so few things on Jump Desktop. I use that constantly. I'm neurotic about keeping myself connected to RDP. Root Explorer is kind of nice. I mean, the UI could be better. I bought SuperSu Pro because I wanted to support Chainfire because it's pretty cool what they do.
Right.
And
as you're looking through your app list, consider how many of those are ad-supported that you unashamedly block ads on.
Well, I gotta think.
One, two, three.
Oh, I bought Wolfram Alpha as a calculator replacement way back when. It was a 25-cent app one day.
I've only got about half a dozen of those, actually.
I gotta think here. Like, the Waze, social GPS, maps, and traffic. I don't even know why I keep that. Skype used to have an ad, but then they were running this thing around Christmas time where you can get a year of Skype premium for free. So I just signed up every email address I had, and I kept getting, you know, I'm good through like 2018 now.
Should Skype last that long?
Yeah, exactly. Microsoft, don't fuck that up even more than you already have. I wonder what these little icons are. I just noticed that there's an icon next to the vendor on some of these apps, the little blue diamond thing.
Is it a verified marker or something?
I don't know what the hell it is. Whatever. I'm sure there's a reason for it. Trying to think. What the hell else do I use that has ads? Nothing? With the exception of AccuWeather. I think that's the only one that I've ever had to block ads in. I just don't use money apps. I mean, like, this is my launcher after I got rid of all the shit that I didn't need. Or hit it, rather.
One page?
One page. Pretty good. That's it. I mean, I don't really use that much. So,
I don't know. Whatever. I just think it's kind of funny how that low price just triggers something in me that's like, oh, I don't know if I really want it.
But I mean, like, utilities and stuff like that, with Titanium Backup, it was absolutely no question. Jump Desktop, it was like the highest rated RDP app out there. It was $15. I'm like, fine, don't care. And it was on sale for something ridiculous cheap one day, so I just bought it. Wolfram Alpha was one of those 25-cent apps for the 20... I don't remember. Oh, it was like 25 million.
Or sales or yeah. Something like that.
And that's when I got like Minecraft Pocket Edition for next to nothing, and now it's like this great, fully blown game and all this crap. It's changed a lot. Which actually reminded me of a game-related thing. IGN is... Or they had changed their re-review policy. They're willing to re-review games now if they changed a lot since the initial review, like Minecraft Pocket Edition. It used to be just like a really shitty creative mode thing, and now it's fully blown.
Oh,
so they actually re-reviewed it.
I didn't know they had a restriction on re-reviewing stuff.
Yeah, apparently it was against their ethos at one point.
Yeah, IGN ethos.
Yeah,
come
exactly.
On.
So, no, they actually posted an article saying that they've changed their mind on that for, you know, games that have significant difference between, you know, current release and what it used to be. Their biggest example was actually League of Legends, because it changed a ton since it was initially released. So, I mean, with content being added all the time to all these games, especially free content, I mean, they have to keep that in mind too, I guess, is what their reasoning was.
I suppose. Stay with the times and stay relevant.
Yeah.
If you people couldn't see that at home, that was a massive eye roll that I just did when referring to relevancy in IGN.
Yeah, well, you know. Someday our stuff will be reviewed. Yeah. Not going to buy it, by the way. Not buying reviews.
No, hell no. Jesus.
You don't even have money for anything else.
Back right off.
Batch, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
All right, cool. Well, we're running to the end of insert credits round one. Round one?
One.
One.
Yes. Jesus. First one.
First one. Round two will be next week on Friday at around this time. We might do it an hour later. We might do it, well, not an hour earlier. 7 will be the earliest start time, I guess.
Might be slightly more inebriated.
Maybe.
I realized that I didn't have anything to write this. Oops.
Well,
oh well,
you have no one to blame but yourself for that.
Yeah, and my forgetfulness. So, yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you all for joining us. We've got a new typical closing song now. Well, it's not typical yet because it's only played once tonight. But we're going to leave with a remix from the Shadow... Shadow of the Colossus. Remix entitled Trico Flies by Kevin Penkin. Good night, everybody.
Ciao.